assess the economy through the economic indicators and data that we all report on constantly. They assess it through how they feel about it. 34% currently approve of Biden's handling of the economy, so significantly lower than his overall job approval, 66% disapprove. And when you ask, how is the economy going today? What's your rating of it? 30% of Americans say it's good. 70% of Americans say it's poor. I just want to note here that the economy is overwhelmingly the most important issue for voters. This is not insignificant. And so while there are a ton of other issues that we discuss, and even issues that the president performs worse on, the Israel-Hamas war, immigration, the economy is still front and center for people. So this is something you're going to hear Biden talk about day in and day out to try to boost those numbers up as well.
Happy Bitcoin Monday, freaks. Almost forgot which day of the week it was. It's your host, Odell, here for another Citadel Dispatch, the interactive live show focused on actual Bitcoin and freedom tech discussion. I have a good friend here to join us here live from the studios at Bitcoin Park in Nashville. I always love the live rips. Carlos Torriello, and we're going to be talking about securing elections with Bitcoin. How's it going, Carlos?
Bomba. Gracias por tenerme, Matt.
I don't know what that means, but I appreciate it.
Great to be here. I really love what you're doing with the park, and just happy to be a small cog in the wheel.
Park's pretty cool, huh?
It's awesome. If you haven't come out to check it out, you should.
Let's fucking go. So, I mean, this is a bit of a change of pace from my usual conversation. Or my usual conversations here on Dispatch. But we've been talking for a long time about what you're doing, and it's a concept that I have found fascinating for years. I remember when I was a naive early Bitcoiner, like a decade ago, I was like, blockchain's going to solve elections. And I was so fucking wrong. There are so many issues with doing blockchain-based voting. That is not what we're talking about here, which is why I'm so excited about it. But it's all those different caveats that exist and trade-offs that exist. I've gone down that rabbit hole myself. And so when you came to me and explained what your new project was, I was really fascinated by it. So I guess let's start with the work you've done, how you look at it. Like, what are we talking about here?
Sure. So the work is called Digital Witness in English, but it started out in Spanish called Fiscal Digital. And the reason it's called Digital Witness is because fiscal digital is not what we're talking about. And what it is Digital Witness is my proposal to audit elections. And I think that by doing so and looking back on it, what I've proven with Guatemala last year is that whatever your feelings about democracy, I will not tell you to believe in it. I have my own conflicting thoughts about it. It would be its own rip. But my thoughts as a Bitcoiner is the elections and voting is inherently a consensus algorithm that eventually leads to some decision reached by a bunch of people. And so I just see it as an opportunity to reach normies and pre-coiners with a very different message to Bitcoin around truth, and show them, give them a new touch point, and basically turn elections into a little machine that creates more Bitcoiners.
And also, I mean, it brings like the don't trust verify ethos to existing election processes.
Well, and you know, it's recognizing that historically, Don't Trust Verify was always a part of democracy. It's more of just like over time that obviously gets eroded away. But if you go back to any initial democracy, the first time you had elections, everyone was verifying instead of trusting, right? Because if you don't trust Verify, then you can actually believe what you're looking at as instead of what we've kind of been pushed into, which is just don't verify and trust.
Right.
And so I believe that what I've proven in the case of Guatemala is that if we see democracies and specifically the voting around democracies as an opportunity to prove that Bitcoin is useful, then it provides touch points to people that are different from the strictly sound money argument. And I love folks making the sound money argument.
Right.
I just think we're kind of reaching the edges of it. People will come from sound money because fiat will inevitably destroy people's lives and they'll eventually find Bitcoin. But I do think there's a truth argument to make with Bitcoin. And I find it important to take that fight. You know, we should use every opportunity we can to reach people with this message. And
yeah, one of the arguments I always make is that we're living in a post-truth world now. Like, people don't know what to believe. And Bitcoin is the exception to that rule, right? And not just Bitcoin, but just signed messages in general. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about Nostr. Just cryptographically verifiable signed messages is truth in a post-truth world. But so, I mean, what we're talking about here is kind of cool because, first of all, it's not theoretical. You've already done it in Guatemala. The second thing that I find cool here is you're not asking millions of people to change their election processes. You're looking at the existing election processes and you're saying, okay, how can we add more reliability here? How can we add more verifiability, have more truth to the existing system without actually really changing much in how people interact with their, you know, their local voting schemes? So let's talk about what happened in Guatemala, how you implemented in Guatemala, what were you trying to solve, and how'd you do it?
Excellent. So the backstory is Guatemala, next door to El Salvador, a Central American country. It's where I was born and raised. And we have a voting system that is manned by a citizen army of voluntary citizens. It is a beautiful experience that I had the opportunity to be a part of in 2011 and 2015 as a volunteer at the tables. What differentiates Guatemala to basically most voting systems is that it's an organic, just, you know, you call your neighbor, people just organically call each other and find reliable people to join this citizen army. And so our 9 million voters are assigned to voting tables based on their, you know, registered address. And it turns into about 400 people per voting table. And when you show up, it's your neighbor that's, you know, welcoming you, gives you your ballots. You take the paper and you get a crayon and you hand, you know, just whatever you choose to mark on the ballot. And then you deposit the ballot yourself into a, you know, plastic bag that allows anyone to see what's going on. And there's witnesses present. There's just, it's a massive amount of people that's mobilized. The last numbers in 2023 was over 200, maybe even 300,000 people simultaneously doing the voting system at these 25,000 tables.
Okay, wow.
Nationwide. 4.2 million people actually bothered to show up to vote.
What's the population?
18 million, give or take. Okay. But, you know, a bunch of migrants in the States, and so we kind of stopped doing the census, so it's probably more, but...
You just gave up on the census?
Yeah, the state just, you know, can't do it anymore, and okay, so...
Fair enough.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons why, but yeah, no more census, and so we, 10 years ago, just kind of reached 18, and that's where we're at. 9.2 million registered voters, 4.2 actually bothered to show up to vote.
Okay.
And over 200,000 are at the voting tables.
Right. They're volunteers.
They're the volunteers. They're
running the election.
Running the election, and also by assigned, sent by the political parties competing in the election.
So that they can
verify it.
What's, keep each other honest.
Exactly. And so when you do the numbers, it's like over 5% of the voting, you know, population is running the voting system.
Right.
It's a large number of the voting population, right? And so at the table, when people cast their ballots, you were similar. And I was a part of that. Like, I was that neighbor that you showed up to, and like, I gave you your thing, and I, you know, convinced a bunch of my friends to do this with me. And it's this hard work that you have to do throughout the entire voting day. You're technically a mayor for a day, so that if the cops show up and you committed a crime, the cops have to wait outside until you finish your job. Right. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Like, you have jurisdiction as a mayor for a day, and your jurisdiction is your table. Right. No one can take you away from there until your work is done.
Okay.
And so as people are pouring in, you know, eventually 6 p.m. rolls around, the center is shut down, and you take out the plastic bags from under the table. You dump it out.
These are all paper ballots. Everything's paper.
Everything is paper. Yeah. We carry out 5 elections simultaneously. So it's 5 ballots that people cast on the first election day. Then there's a runoff. But, you know, the first time you do this, it's 5 bags that are under the table. Everyone's around and everyone can see this happening. And at the end, you dump the bag out and you literally just go one by one in front of the witnesses,
right,
saying, all right, you know, blue party, red party, green party, yellow party. And you
literally count them by hand.
Literally count them by hand in front of people, making it that moment, that space in that table turns into the only place where you can challenge individual ballots.
Right.
And once that tally is reached, you hand write those totals on a document that is your proof of work.
Right.
Right. And so that document that summarizes the totals at the table is actually the legal document of the election system.
Right. Then you calculate national results from all of those individual documents.
So we turn the, you know, what, 9 million votes into 25,000 documents,
okay,
containing those 9 million votes.
Right.
And, you know, while I was doing this in 2011 and 15 and eventually came back in 2019 as a witness, I realized what this is a physical, you know, paper proof of work consensus algorithm.
Right.
Right. Like I now see the volunteers, the people that receive the ballots and do the work, as kind of mining nodes in this network. And then the political party witnesses are validating nodes. They can't touch any of the votes, but if they see anything wrong, they can issue, you know, challenges. And that process leads to this very, you know, what I consider a system that has integrity, right?
Because it's
up until that point, you have everything that you need to make sure that there was no funny stuff. As long as people participated, right?
But you have like the good old fashioned, like, game theory of a bunch of people there that disagree on things and they're all keeping each other honest.
Exactly.
Right.
And so as long as the political parties bother to send people,
right,
then there should be people keeping each other honest. Right. Now, if there are places where people literally don't care about the results anymore, then democracy does die in darkness.
But this is the key, right? It's like, you're not trying to solve that problem. You're not trying to solve everything. Okay. Nope. So we're at this point, we have these 25,000 documents.
And so then what happens is they get scanned,
okay,
by some scanner, posted on the internet, and the election authorities invite folks to say, see, we are transparent. Everything's published on the internet. Anyone can just download these documents and verify for themselves that the totals match the individual
25,000
exactly
tables
per election.
Right.
And so we've got 5 of these. And so, you know, I fell in love with this process. It's very magical. And I was, you know, like you said, like a naive, you know, person back in the day saying, like, wow, democracy is so beautiful. Then what happened was in 2019, my dad and a cousin of mine ran for Congress and asked for my help. And so I evolved from being a volunteer at the table to being a political party witness.
Okay.
And in 2019, I was plugged into the system, seeing what they were doing in real time. And that election, we were supposed to have 100,000 documents come in. And I'm plugged into the you know FTP server that they're using, and instead of going from 0 to 100,000, what I witness is 0 to 10,000, down to 5, up to 25, down to 10, up to 50, down to 20,000.
Wow.
The actual JPEG files that you know
right.
are being produced by these tables, and then up to 101,000, which is what they were supposed to be, and then down to 0, and the website crashes publicly. And right. you know, for the first time in 40 years in 2019 in Guatemala, there were serious election fraud accusations, not just by you know the fringe candidates that lost, but all actually by all of the candidates around the spectrum. And so
I was just pointing that we got a zap.
Woohoo! Thank you, sir.
It's pretty cool seeing it coming live, right?
So, yeah. The biggest problem with elections is the move away from in-person voting. Politicians.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all this, freaks. By the way, the reason Carlos is here in America talking on this show, which is awesome because it's a global show. We have an audience around the world, is because he wants to hopefully bring this to the U.S. So we're going to talk all about the different implications of the U.S. election process. But first, let's get through what he's done in Guatemala, how like what his process is there, and then we'll get to all your questions.
Appreciate it. So I saw in real time in 2019 the election system crashing and getting rebooted, and just it was like standing under a, you know, Niagara Falls with a water cup trying to right. you know get something. It's like it was a deluge of nonsense and lies right. that followed in the next couple of days. And so I realized it's a massive OCR problem and we could solve it. And so I built.
Right. So when he says OCR, that's optical character recognition.
Yes.
And specifically what he means is these are handwritten documents. So they're not digital native documents. And then they're scanned into a picture file. And so computers can't necessarily recognize what those numbers are. So it makes tallying those 25,000 documents quite difficult and time consuming. So you need to be able to, first of all, translate that handwriting into actual digital files that you can work with and tally them up. And then second of all, I mean, I guess this is where we're going as well, is you have to maintain the integrity of those documents so that you know those JPEGs haven't been altered in the first place. And both of those were incredibly lacking before your project came around.
Exactly. So in 2019, I'm attempting to do this. I publish open source code. I get, you know, become a little viral. And so we've got a bunch of people helping us do this.
Trying to audit the election.
Exactly. Auditing.
Through their process. Digital Witness doesn't exist yet. You're trying to make it happen.
Well, we created it. We called it Digital Witness in Spanish. Right. And we just called, you know, to the internet, just open it up as a crowdsourced program, and over 1,500 people are logging in to help us do this.
To literally like look at a JPEG, be like 14 votes, 15 votes, like writing it down, typing it up.
Exactly. Typing everything up, just doing, you know, pouring through hundreds of thousands of documents
right.
to see whether or not what they're saying is true or not. And yeah, so what I realized is, you know, a buddy of mine is a lawyer and he said, well, so if you end up publishing, you know, contradicting results, the letter of the law says that this is treason.
Nice.
So it's like, well, but on the other hand, what the authorities were saying is, oh, we're going to look at documents like one at a time with everyone there. It's like you're running the numbers of what the authorities are proposing. And it's like, it's going to take them 48 months if they work 24/7.
By design.
And so it's like, this is a shit show. The other interesting, you know, side note there is, It's as an OCR problem, I would argue the most famous OCR technology in the world is CAPTCHA.
Right.
CAPTCHA was invented by a Guatemalan.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The guy's name is Luis Von An.
One of the things I love about small countries, by the way, is you guys know all the random facts about who you had invent certain things.
The reason Luis Von An is, you know, after inventing CAPTCHA and selling it to Google,
he
started a little company called Duolingo.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Which, you know, some people may know about.
Second fact about Guatemala.
And so Luis Von An is the most famous tech entrepreneur that Guatemala has ever produced.
Does he still own Duolingo? Did he sell that too?
It's a public company now.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, he went public right around the time this whole shit happened. So actually, originally, before building the tools with my team as open source, I reached out to him. And he was like, dude, I'm too busy, like taking my company public. But good on you.
I'm one of the top, like, learn how to speak other language apps in the world. I can't help you.
So, but at least he provided feedback saying you're onto something, right? But the reason I bring that up is it seemed to me like just the extreme irony of seeing the Guatemalan Democratic Republic fall because we didn't know how to use CAPTCHA. It just, like, it was too much for me to bear.
Wait, so let's just explain real quick. Probably most of, what is CAPTCHA?
CAPTCHA, I forget what the, letters stand for, but
it's an acronym. Right?
Yeah, it's a funky acronym.
Acronym doesn't matter. What is CAPTCHA?
CAPTCHA is what Google and other machines use to give you some kind of work to prove that you're human.
It's that annoying thing when you're on a VPN and it says, are you human? Like, click the bicycles or type out what this word is. Or...
Now what Google is doing is using CAPTCHA to, it's actually called
image recognition.
ReCAPTCHA. So it started out as CAPTCHA. Now it's called ReCAPTCHA. And what they're doing is every time you do work for them to prove you're human, you're training the AI that it...
They're killing two birds with one stone. They're supposed to stop spam for the... like potential DDoS spam for the website host, but at the same time you're training the robots, and it's this horrible virtual, horrible feedback loop, where as you train the robots to be better, they have to get more and more annoying about the challenges they give us because the robots can solve it because we fucking train them.
But the cool thing is the output is, if you do this, you can actually make the output useful. And so I remember when CAPTCHA was first introduced is you actually saw two words. And so the original CAPTCHA was used to digitize all books, right? So, all the books were scanned and you had these, JPEG files with, words. And what we did initially was turn those words into digital data that then Google could, use its search function
to parse. Yeah.
That's why CAPTCHA was purchased by Google. And so we turned all this JPEG information into, useful digital data. So I was just like, how is Guatemala going to fail as a democratic republic because we can't learn how to use our own fucking technology? I'm sorry. I don't know if I...
You're good. No, we curse on the show.
Right on. So I was...
For a while. A couple episodes I tried not to because people were like, I listened with the kids in the car and I'm sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. I will tone it down. So,
my grandmother asked me how do you not get kicked off the radio with with language like that? I was like, oh, you sweet summer child.
They're not paying
attention. It's a podcast. There's internet.
No one cares anymore. Yeah. And so anyway, basically, it's an OCR problem.
Right.
I was frustrated that we didn't do it, so I just built an open source tool that did it. Okay. But I failed miserably in 2019 for many reasons. And so I was extremely frustrated. And then finally, I was like, all right, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to lower my time preference. I'm going to, pray at the altar of Satoshi every day and just lie in wait. And so I couldn't stop what madness happened in 2019. I still believe that they were probably stolen. But the thing about when you think that you got stolen in case of elections is the responsibility is on you. You have to prove what you're saying, right? And if you make sweeping judgments without proof, then you're going to get labeled as an election denier. And, eventually you might even get thrown in jail, right? So I had to think from, the worst case scenario. And so basically that's when I met you in the Human Rights Foundation event in Miami. I went there with a specific goal of figuring out, there's got to be more tools in Bitcoin that can help me do this. And I met the folks from Stackwork at the Human Rights Foundation. And I realized there's this tool that is basically kind of like this.
Awesome. Their whole team's awesome.
Stackwork is amazing. And you can build these workflows that allow people to just over their phones do work, which is what I was doing. But in this case, you can turn that work into Satoshis. And right.
So you literally just pay them sats to type the numbers
exactly
from the JPEG.
And so all you need to do is get the JPEGs. In our case, they're published to the internet.
Right.
And that's where we can,
You want me to pull it up?
Yeah, please.
While we have this, we are going to be showing some things on screen, so I will be moving away from the live chat just momentarily, but we will come back to the live chat, so keep, and we're watching the live chat. Also, freaks, I know some of you have been zapping. I just checked my note. I have been receiving the zap, so don't worry. The sats are not going to the, you know, the zaps are arriving at their destination. This is one of those constant trade-offs that we think about with Bitcoin, where, of course, if I use my own node, sometimes the zaps don't show up on the stream. Are we pulling up Stackwork, or are we pulling up the other side?
The other side, yeah.
I just switched my my Lightning address to the Primal Custodial Wallet, which, once again, it's like, now I'm using a custodial wallet, but at least your zaps will show up, and I'll send them to self-custody afterwards. But thank you for supporting the show. Okay, Carlos, we're on. This is the government website of Guatemala, right?
This is the Elections Authority website of Guatemala. You can click on the box that said Resultados Primera Elección, that one. So this is how the JPEGs are produced in Guatemala. There's this, you know, some folks might recognize this. There's a map, and there's, you know, tables. And,
I mean, I understand numbers. There's problems with that you're solving, but I have to say, like, it's pretty cool that they have a website on this stuff.
I think there are some, there's a tradition of publishing this in general democracy.
I don't know if we have this in the United States.
I believe there are similar ones. I have yet to see.
I think it's just like CNN and shit with their like dumbass graphics.
Well, election authorities, like someone should have this. But it's still like just cool database, okay. Bro. Like, how do you trust this?
Yeah, but also it's like, it's they're able to say like, look how transparent we are, but there's actually no verification whatsoever. It's just literally just numbers on a website.
Well, they're used to. Well,
So let's continue. So what do you want me to do here?
So there's a little text box that you can write any number between 1 and 25,000.
42.
And so instead of looking at national numbers, what this allows is for us to drill down into one of those 25,000.
We're on table 42, right?
And so if you go down, it's like cool database, bro, but there is a button that says ver, which is
this is
look or verify. And it actually pulls up the document that emanated from table number 42 in the
presidential
election.
This is the actual handwritten document.
This is the handwritten JPEG. And so I can just build a little web crawler and just rip these off of the website as soon as they're being published. The back end. But anyone can do this. Actually, a bunch of people do just like download this and then go on Twitter saying,
this is the JPEG.
Yep. And so the problem was in 2019, what was happening is these were changing. Like they were changing. I couldn't check exactly how they were changing, but they were changing. And so we built a system to we discovered the Open Timestamps Protocol,
okay,
which a little side note there for folks, I don't know if what your recollection is of how this protocol was built, Matt. I'm curious to your history of Open Timestamps, but it's essentially developed by Peter Todd and allows us to use Bitcoin. I call it a compromise between the money maximalists and the data storage folks.
The people that want to put all the data in the blockchain.
Open timestamps is kind of the compromise because it's the minimalist version of using Bitcoin.
Right. So you essentially what open timestamps does is you take a hash of a file. So every file has a unique hash. You just simply run it through SHA-256. It gives you this long string of characters, right? And that is unique. If that file gets changed at all, it's a different hash. So it proves that a file has not been changed. If you listened to the recent dispatch with Stewart and Hazard about Blossom on Nostr, it's a similar concept. You use the hash to prove that a file has not been changed, and it's very easy to verify. And then Open Timestamps takes it a step further, and they take that hash and they put that hash in the Bitcoin blockchain, so you can tell that this hash existed at this time. So it gives you two key points of verification, that the file when the hash was taken and that the file hasn't changed since that point in time, right?
Which is dramatic for election auditing.
Right.
Because, like I said, if my audit produced contradictory results, I could be thrown in jail.
Right.
So I would have to prove that
yourself that you didn't change that JPEGs.
That the audit that I did was based on official documents. If the official documents...
And there was no way for you to prove that before this existed.
Exactly. And so then this other group that was inspired by what I did in 2019 created a startup called Simple Proof and sold the election authority on adding a very, you know, conspicuously orange button to this page that says verify hash.
And so you literally got them to open timestamps the hash. Open timestamps the JPEG.
Exactly. All of them.
Every JPEG. All 25,000 JPEGs.
Everything that they gave us access to, which was these JPEGs, we tried to get access to a little bit more. But so what happens is when you click on that, it'll take you to the an additional contractor that is doing this via open timestamps, who's showing you, here's the SHA-256 of that individual document. Here's the timestamp of when they got it, plus the timestamp of when Bitcoin registered that transaction. So you can also see like how
much... Wait, we're on a new tab, so I'm not sharing this tab anymore. Wait, let me...
Share this tab instead.
So the freaks don't see what we're looking at.
I think you can just click the share.
Wait, no, I'm just, instead of switching tabs, I'm just going to put it in this tab. Here we go. Yeah, so you see the SHA-256 hash, you see the block that it happened and the time that it happened.
But additional, at the top, it's the timestamp of when it came into the private database of Simple Proof. And so you can use both of these timestamps to determine how long did these documents take before they were put on Bitcoin.
Because that's the scary point in time, right?
That
is, they've left the table and they're getting
scanned.
They're getting verified and they're getting
scanned.
Yeah, scanned and put into the blockchain.
How long between...
The document themselves is not getting put in the blockchain. The hash is getting put in the blockchain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hash is putting into the blockchain. But the point is, what you do want to try to determine is how long did that take, right?
Right.
Because if it takes a reasonable amount of time, say, for example, around, you know, less than 60 minutes, and usually the average should be around 10, because that's how long the blocks work, then you can immediately determine a kind of health indicator of the entire election.
Right.
Because if you have a document that took 6 hours more, then you're like, what happened there? You know, there needs to be an explanation. And so all of this is made public. You get an additional database that you can check the documents against. But if you go further down,
scroll down.
You click on where it says Ver Árbol de Merkel.
Okay, we're verifying the Merkel tree.
And so you can download the OTS file, which has all the all the gnarly, you know, cryptographic proofs, but they built this where if you go all the way to the bottom of that Merkel, you know, tree, you can see the root hash. You can click on the one on the left cuz it's sort of highlighted, so to say, you see that hash? That's actually the same hash that we were looking at earlier. Right?
F42E1. Let's see. F42E1. There you go.
And so it's showing you where that hash is and then showing you how the Merkel tree, you know, hashing that open.
Well, to be clear, the reason Open Timestamps uses Merkel trees is because they want to reduce the impact, both the fee rate that is paid by the person that's trying to put the hash and create the open timestamp, but also like decrease the burden on the blockchain itself. The whole idea is like, how can we have verifiable data without bloating the blockchain? So exactly. Like, I know like it's a hot topic right now, like storing data on Bitcoin. This is done in the most efficient way possible. And you're not actually storing the data itself on the blockchain. You're storing like the verifiability of it.
And it's all of the data. So let's pretend like on election night in Guatemala, we had 125,000 documents created. So maybe there was one moment in a 10-minute interval where there were 10,000 documents.
Yep.
All of those 10,000 documents are reduced to a single hash on a single transaction. And so instead of bloating the blockchain. It's just a single transaction per block that could contain hundreds of thousands of documents. But doing that eliminates 99% of the attack surface that
this
elections...
is what's beautiful about it. It's like you're not trying to solve everything. It's just like, okay, like up until the point where the tables create the 25,000 different districts are like creating their tabulations to the point where it's posted online. And even after the point is posted online, that up until the tables and it's first uploaded is pretty good. Yep. It's pretty good in the current state. Let's just make it that state permanently.
Exactly.
Rather than allow it to be altered after that point. So you're not trying to solve everything. It's just like very actionable. It's something that can be solved relatively easily and cleanly.
Cheaply.
Yeah.
And so a few things there is, it's the gold standard of elections by any self-respecting computer scientist is paper.
Right? 100%. We're gonna talk about this when we get to the US, but yes.
And so, but
paper is amazing.
The problem is when those results and whatever mechanism you have from jumping from paper, computing the result and publishing
adding them
to the
all
internet.
Up. And then also the verification of that.
And publishing to the internet, right? So it's our whole point here is if that process from going from the analog, which is secure, to digital, you go through the filter that is Bitcoin, then on the other side, it'll be insignificantly cheap to verify and distinguish real information.
Right, have independent parties be able to audit it.
In a trustless way.
You still need an independent party to be able to audit it.
And so
in this case, I would say trust minimized, but yes.
Yeah, trust minimized in that. But so that, because timestamping isn't new. What's new is if you actually use Bitcoin, then the authorities are saying, yes, you can use access to our database and people have had access to it.
But to fuck with the timestamp, you would have to reorg the Bitcoin blockchain, which is incredibly difficult to do.
And it's all open source
which
protocol.
Which is why you can't use a shitcoin for it, because the shitcoins are all centralized. So
exactly.
You could just reorg. I mean, maybe not the Guatemalan government, but if you were going for bigger governments, they could just reorg stuff.
And so what you're doing is eliminating the election tampering attack surface to a single moment in time, which is the beginning, literally as it's happening. What that means for anyone trying to mess with elections is that they're going to have to take significant risks that if they have to jam all their fraud into one small moment on election night,
good luck.
You're probably going to fuck up.
Yeah.
And when people have to do things quickly and they fuck up, that's when you catch them.
Right.
And so the best, on the one hand, Bitcoiners have criticized me because it's like, oh, this is going to be expensive, et cetera. And it's like, it's really not. It's just one transaction per block.
And like the alternative is way more expensive.
Exactly. Like for a country's democracy, it's worth paying for this. And then the election deniers accuse me of whitewashing election fraud.
Right.
And to that, I say, if they are
literally doing the opposite, you can verify yourself.
Well, let's pretend like someone was able to mess with the JPEGs before they were scanned, and then they put them up here. All that person has done is committed a crime in a tamper-proof system that anyone can audit. So you now have criminals providing forensic evidence. Right. That you can actually use to create sound arguments based on cryptography and math, as opposed to political opinions about what happened to the election. And so this, it only benefits people who want truth.
Right.
It makes it harder for those that want to create.
I mean, it's just clearly a net benefit. It improves the election system.
And so the way that the folks in the election authority decided to consume this was because they figured, well, AI has made it ridiculously cheap to make fake documents like these. And now they have a cheap way to cover their ass on the one side, but then obviously differentiate in the case that elections are attacked with artificial intelligence in coordinated misinformation, disinformation attacks. And so, yeah, I mean...
This is one piece of the puzzle, right? So so now we know the JPEGs aren't being modified after the fact. So the government in charge sees that they're losing the election and they start altering JPEGs. Now they can't do that without it being obvious.
Exactly.
And but then the other piece is the OCR piece. It's exactly. Like, okay, so like, how do we now we have verifiable JPEGs, but how do we turn those JPEGs into something that you can put in an Excel spreadsheet and actually add up easily? Exactly.
And so, first thing is, like you said, I would call it an anchor of truth, right?
Right.
Now we can actually hold on to reality and work on something that's not shifting.
So and this is where Stackwork comes in, right?
Exactly. And so the folks at Stackwork were awesome. And so we built this little tool. The way I did it was I had a website where I basically marketed to young people and election deniers and said, we don't trust the election either. The only way to trust is to verify. So join us. And all people needed to do was submit their phone number. I would send them an SMS message with a code and access to this website. And so when they came in, it's a very obvious process. It's all intuitive. You just click start. And so it's mobile native. So all you need to do is, I don't think you're showing it.
I am showing it. I'm looking at it on my screen.
Oh, great. So we just handhold people through.
Task is to enter the handwritten value. Are we doing this right now?
It's to just click through. But the point is,
am I getting paid for this?
Yeah, yeah.
So what am I? I'm supposed to? They're telling
this
me.
Is the tutorial. So
okay.
We assumed people were not going to know how to do this. So you just need to click next.
Well, I'm learning. Okay, so I have to do 22 Avanza. No, 002.
Yep.
Oh, the number on the right is what I'm supposed to put.
Exactly.
In.
So it's showing you if it's blank, fill the number with 000.
000.
And so for folks that are just listening.
Oh, this is 021. Exactly. Because I need to do three digits no matter what.
Exactly.
We're looking at, if you're just listening, we're looking at essentially the tutorial process that a human robot who's like putting in the numbers. Okay, this would be, as you can see, if you're watching the stream, this is how difficult this problem is to solve, which is why like AI is not doing it and why it's humans getting paid sats that are doing it.
Well, right? It gets gnarly fast.
Okay, so like, are they asking me to enter this? No,
no. There's still a tutorial. It's like, if you can't guess what the number is, just write ##.
Okay.
Because there's plenty of times when people make mistakes.
##.
Yeah. It's like if you can't really read it easily.
This is a pretty advanced tutorial.
Yeah.
Let me just unzooming this, I think it's like.
There you go.
Is this for a mobile screen? Is that the idea?
It's built for mobile. Yeah, mobile native. And so basically.
They're just like telling me all the different scenarios.
Yep. And so now you do need to zoom in a little bit because it's asking you for 168 Pan Podemos. Yeah.
No, that's a good zoom. This is a good. Enter the handwritten value. This is important. Like we're doing this. Is this actually getting entered?
006 is the right number. I don't know where you got that.
168. Oh, they're asking me what is the total for that? 006. Exactly. All right. We're verifying an election right now.
Well, we already verified the election.
Okay, so we're not.
What you're doing is going through our tutorial, which.
So I'm not actually helping anybody?
No, well.
So 257. It's supposed to be 257.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So what we've done is.
I'm good at this.
Gamified election
auditing.
I just
got plus two in the top.
So.
Okay, 074. I got
this. This is how you get young people to do really boring work. You gamify it, and you tell everyone, hey.
Unidad Nacional de la Esperanza. Okay, I see it. 062. 062. Sorry, you can keep talking. Sure. I'm doing things.
It's the idea is there's a lot of people that care deeply about elections, and especially young people who aren't allowed to vote. If we reach them with this, we can gamify all of that energy and expose people to their first Bitcoin Lightning transaction. Because all you're saying is, hey, let's compete with your friends and see who can do more for democracy. Ooh, try putting one that's wrong, by the way. Because you should don't trust verify.
Oh, yeah, that was going to be my next question. Okay.
Because you're going to run
there
out.
There you go. It's
666.
The devil's vote, 666. Oh, they caught me. Oh, they took four sats from me?
But you can dispute it if you think the devil was speaking to you in that one.
Wow.
It also, Stackwork is amazing in that they learn.
I'm disputing it.
There you go. And so we could also learn from our users and adapt, right? But it basically.
So do you have like, Are users doing double work so that
there's a lot of things going on in the background?
You make sure there's no trolls that are like coming in and ruining the process.
So if you click the home screen up on the left,
okay.
The reason you were able to do that, you've completed 7, you still have 3. Everyone gets 10,
okay,
because that's the test.
10 per day?
The first time a user logs in, the first 10 jobs are control jobs. And so
so you already know the answers.
We already know the answers to these. You need to maintain
it's a filter.
You need to maintain an 80% control.
I'm passing
so far. But we only did 80% because we didn't know how many people would sign up. If we want to turn this up to 99%, like there's a bunch of things that can be done.
But then what happens if I fuck around after I get past this process?
We'll eventually catch you because we'll randomly include. Okay. And so there's a bunch of really awesome stuff.
This? Am I pressing this?
Yep. Press that like really obvious green button and then look at your paste invoice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so we never told anyone
to get my sats.
Anything. But when we ran this, and my suggestion is if you want to do this, you don't say anything about Bitcoin ever.
I'm going back to the live chat.
Because if you're like doing Bitcoin in elections, like this is going to, you're going to draw all sorts of wrong attention. And so, yeah, it's hard to.
Rob OK in the live chat. Not sure I trust Odell to validate elections the way this is going.
You don't need to trust him. You could just run this yourself, right? And so, but the last green button was just to just get paid. And so if you want to try to generate the invoice to see that whether or not we're true, but we never said anything about Bitcoin. And then our 1,000...
Like a 10 sat invoice. Yep. I believe you.
And so basically the idea is gamify it. People get excited. They start competing. And all of a sudden, they start asking, what does this SAT mean? What does invoice mean?
Right.
And just randomly, people figured it out on social media, on our channels. We never said anything. And they just figured out how to create a lightning invoice
to get their
for
money.
Themselves. And so
cool.
Basically, now what we have is, and I forgot to tell you this other website, but if you go to digitalwitness.io, if you can, we have a little arcade screen. So this is a game. This is an arcade. And
this
so
is not up yet.
Digitalwitness.io. It'll redirect you, so it'll probably.
And now I got it.
And so what we're using is every 4 years when Guatemala, if you click on the logo up,
they can't see anything yet. I'm going to it. Someone else in the comments was like, these producers need to get fired. They know I'm the only producer here. Okay.
So if you go up and then click on the logo up on the left.
Okay.
And so there's this arcade. So the whole thing is I've turned the election auditing and here's my audit. So I did actually.
Wait, there's like someone who did OCR and got 383,000 sats?
Exactly.
That's legit. That's money.
That's money. And
that's
so
like right now, freaks, that's like that's almost $240
for about 2 weeks
US
of
dollars.
Work.
Yeah,
which is like three times the like
you get to feel good while you do it.
Exactly. And so I actually did do the audit, and it's this massive thing that goes.
He's got a huge binder in front of me right now.
It's just way too much work. That. To prove to all the users that I didn't actually like do this for just shits and giggles. But now, 4 years from now, when the next election happens in Guatemala, I will put this on a billboard somewhere so that people recall how much you got paid. So it's basically turning...
Right, that $240 is going to be worth a lot more. That 383,000 sats is going to be worth a lot more.
My idea is we can turn elections into the 10,000 pizza moment, 10,000 Bitcoin pizza moment.
Shit, dude.
For
there's levels to this, huh?
Yes. And so from here on out, every time Guatemala has elections, they will be reminded about what the price of Bitcoin was in 2023. And so, yeah, man, it's I think that democracy and elections can be an engine for more Bitcoiners. I dislike the idea that autocracies and dictatorships have a natural advantage to adopting Bitcoin.
Right.
And that democracies are just going to, get it late. I don't think that we should take that stance. And it's not because I like democracy. It's because I think democracy gives us this opportunity to create more Bitcoins faster than the dictatorships.
Right. I mean, you think like the dictatorships adopt Bitcoin quicker?
I don't know what you think, but I've seen this growing perception that, you know, if you live in Russia or Ukraine, China, North Korea right now, Cuba, obviously, like, you need, like, there's a...
Oh, the people living under there adopt it quicker?
Because there's just a much greater need. And, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So
yeah, like
normies...
if you're getting oppressed, you're going to look for freedom alternatives. And that's what it is. Like, if you're comfortable, like, you just sit tight.
Exactly.
You sit tight in your comfort.
But
you touch the stove.
I don't think that's true. I think democracies have this thing, this consensus that happens on that during every election, and it's increasingly a shit show. And it allows us to reach normies with a different message just give them a new touch point.
Carlos, this is awesome. We're about 50 minutes in.
Yep.
By the way, freaks, I know most of you listen on the podcast apps. Dispatch is obviously available on every podcast app. You just search Cyril Dispatch. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably already figured that out. Obviously, this one had more visual cues to it. You can search Cyril Dispatch on YouTube to see it there. I also post a full video on Noster. And all those links, as always, every link you need is always at CyrilDispatch.com. So if you do want to like go back and watch the video, I think the video probably adds a lot for this rip. But Carlos, I want to talk about America now.
Let's do it.
We talked about Guatemala. You've done great work there. A little bit of a smaller problem to solve. I know it's a problem that's closer to home for you, but it's a smaller problem to solve just from sheer magnitude, right? I mean, the population of the United States is like 350 million people. Digital witness in America. What do you want to see happen? I mean, the election, the next election, next presidential election is in like 8 months or something like that. Less than 8 months. In like 6 months, it's not going to be used in this next one.
Well, so I would say you're incorrect, Matt.
Wow. He just like, you should see the look he just gave me.
So let's just cover our bases here. Okay. There are 50 states in the Federation still is the United States of America. Right. Each one of those 50 states has its own election law. And the beautiful thing about the election system in the United States is that it is decentralized. Inside of those 50 states, more often than not, there may be exceptions to this, but my understanding is the election authority responsible for implementing the election is the county clerk.
Okay.
And so
I love having a Guatemalan tell me how my elections run.
And so
I have no way. I don't know if you're right or not. I believe you, Carlos.
I've been talking to a lot of people around.
I imagine you have been.
The United States that have confirmed this and haven't found anyone to tell me where I'm wrong with this. And so.
So even with presidential elections, the county clerk is in charge.
Exactly.
Of each county.
Okay. Exactly. And so the.
That's cool.
Your local government is where you vote. That means that it's, and this is you know part of why I'm drawing attention to the Guatemalan you know voting system is that's I think the ideal. Everyone should be lucky enough to live in a democracy that has a voting system like Guatemala. That is not the case. But of the 3,000 plus counties in the United States,
right.
You're on a gradient. Your county may provide you the privilege that Guatemalans have, access to you know primary source documents, but right. You may live in a county that doesn't. And so my message to
is it 3,000? Is that what it is?
Over 3,000 counties.
Okay.
Over 3,000.
But under 4,000?
Under 4,000.
Okay.
And
so it's in the threes.
Well, the thing is, there's also like 7,000 ish taxable jurisdictions, and so it's unclear to me whether or not it's actually 7,000 different election systems. But there's at least over 3,000 county clerks.
Got it.
And I would say you were saying, oh, it's a bigger problem. Actually, buddy.
Buddy.
Yeah.
You're your buddy, pal.
Of those 3,000 counties, I would challenge you to say there's probably not that many that have more registered voters than the Guatemalan state does.
Okay, that's interesting.
So our single authority oversees 9 million votes. Your 3,000 authorities oversee less than...
But you have 25,000 tables, and we have essentially 3,000 tables, right?
Well, actually, you have 3,000 you know, voting districts and however many voting tables inside those...
Inside the district.
Exactly.
Okay.
So my point is, the people in the hot seat come November are those county clerks.
Okay.
And so you were saying it's going to be harder. Actually, no. The fact that this what I just described,
I will say I appreciate your optimism.
The time stamping service that we provided the election authorities in Guatemala is essentially cover your ass insurance for election authorities. And we proved that in Guatemala, not only can you get election authorities to buy it, but they were accused of election fraud.
Right.
And that's where this little, you know, card that I'm leaving here. And for folks that want to, I invite you to watch a 16-minute documentary called Immutable Democracy.
How many minutes?
16.
16. Should we play it? No, we're not going to play it. That's ridiculous.
So
it's like 10% of the episode is just like the documentary. Okay, but what is this website? What is the website?
It's film.simpleproof.com.
Film.simpleproof.com.
Or Immutable Democracy on YouTube.
Okay.
It's free.
Okay, perfect.
And so in 16 minutes, we'll show you how it happened in Guatemala, and they were accused of election tampering.
Does it work well audio only or no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put it at the end. I will not put it at the end of the episode, freaks. And just go search Immutable Democracy on YouTube after you finish this episode.
And so the election authorities in Guatemala were accused of election tampering. And it's the work that Simple Proof did by using Bitcoin as their witness,
right,
is giving them the proof that they need that no election tampering happened.
Right.
And so you are literally in Guatemala have the situation where an election authority is facing accusations from the Justice Department of election tampering,
right,
and being able to credibly make the case that that is not true because of Bitcoin. So
right.
Bitcoin, in the first time that it was used by a country, thank you. Yeah. The first time.
One of the freaks put the link in the comments. Thank you, Bitcoin and Clyde. Continue.
And so the first time that Bitcoin was used to protect a national voting system was the first time that the national voting authorities used Bitcoin to protect themselves from a Justice Department accusing them of election tampering. And so
cool,
it's very useful. And election authorities...
So you're saying they have an incentive. I mean, whoever wins wants to be able to prove that it's legit, right?
Well, more than that, it's the election authority, your local county clerk, which might already be a Bitcoiner and might not know about right. this story. He's in the hot seat, and come November, he might get accused of election tampering.
Oh, because he's the one that can tamper the JPEG.
Exactly. He's the one that goes to jail right. if election tampering is proven.
Right.
So I don't know.
So he's the one to convince.
Exactly. So if your freaks want to do this, my message to them is, it's actually just 3,000 of these people have to make this decision. And we're not saying...
And even if you get like 200, 300, it's net benefit.
Dude, I'm looking for one.
Yeah,
like, okay. I got 3,000
of that. So all of a sudden, I turn to the optimistic one, right? You're just like, okay, we'll get one person.
Yeah. If we just get one county in the 3,000...
Have you talked to the Nashville County Clerk, Davidson County?
I just got here on Thursday, and I'm leaving tomorrow, so I have not had a chance. But I was speaking to some folks here.
Did you talk to Rod about it?
I'm
pointing to Rod. He's in the other room.
Right, that's the plan. I was talking to some other folks up here.
Rod's big in the local politics.
There are some folks that are getting excited about
Personally,
this.
Personally, I'm disenfranchised. Like, I don't...
This is not about politics.
I think Freedom Text fixes this, not democracy.
Well,
but
this is not about democracy.
I still like it. I think it's an improvement.
This is about, hey, what I
like
want.
Rod's like a big wine and diner kind of.
It's
politician guy.
My message is, if we can get even one county in the United States to do this,
like he probably plays golf with the county clerk. Like you should. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to talk to him.
To be clear,
I mean, he said he wasn't in town, and I'm glad he's back. If we even have just one, we can credibly make the case as of November of this year yeah. that Bitcoin protects democracy in the United States of America.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when, you know, people are making the argument that we should turn off the miners because they're doing useless, you know, mathematical formulas, well, we can call a few county clerks and have right. them share their story about how Bitcoin enabled them to create an anchor of truth in a sea of lies.
Right.
And that's the point. It's if you're I'm not asking you to care about the elections come November. I'm asking you to see it as an opportunity to get Bitcoin to protect this thing that people care about.
Right.
And therefore, they'll have a different touch point with it. And potentially it'll be easier to orange pill your neighbors because maybe some of them care about Bitcoin, care about their elections. And by doing this, you're going to actually help someone out. These election authorities are usually well-meaning, you know, normies, pre-coiners that just haven't gotten hit by the fiat apocalypse yet, but it's coming for them. And they may end up going to jail come November if they're on the wrong place when the tornado of Clown World comes to pick them up. So it is very simple to integrate. And of course, if you want to go all in and do an audit and use it as a means of exposing normies to their first Lightning transaction, obviously reach out to me. I'm very passionate about that. But just the easy win here is, if Bitcoin protects small local elections, then we've just proved a use case that can't be removed. And I can tell you from my experience, the winners of the Guatemalan election who were, they tried to repeat the election. Like, now I can talk to the executive branch of the Guatemalan government and tell them Bitcoin helped you. Right. And they know it. Like, they can't take it back. Bitcoin did that for them. And so when I'm sitting down with a government bureaucrat in Guatemala to tell them to not do some stupid law, like, they have something that they know is real. And if they get a call from someone to say, oh, you have to abolish Bitcoin, they're going to have to reconcile that internally.
Well, to me, this is win-win, because I love Bitcoin and I don't trust our election process. So if I could trust it a little bit more, like, it's a very low bar.
Yeah.
Like, the bar is quite low. We have someone in the comments asking what Block Explorer I show on screen. It's mempool.space. To me, this is win-win. But, I mean, when I say it's a bigger hurdle, is, like, God, I wish we had paper ballots and JPEGs. Right now, what we have is closed-source digital voting machines with, like, zero fucking audit trail from the time you press the fucking touchscreen.
No, you don't. That's incorrect. Some counties have that.
Some counties have that. Got it.
Not all of them.
Right.
And so that's the other point about this, is there are some legit, like, decent elections in this country and some county clerks that are very passionate about what they've done.
But New York gets a lot of shit, deservedly. But I will say, my time in New York, it was always paper ballots only.
And I just heard, I was talking to some folks that did some work in Missouri, and I believe...
And the freaks in America, you'll remember the hanging chads of
Florida. Of Florida, back in the day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places that do offer you access to the primary source data. And you'd be surprised. My invitation to Bitcoiners listening to this is, unless you've got too much going on, right? Like, if you're already building a bunch of stuff, but if you're a Bitcoiner that's kind of just, not doing much, then just I invite you to go and knock on your county clerk's door and ask them, hey, can I get access to the data and audit the election? Like, is that even possible here? And at worst, you'll find out that you do live in a county like the one you described, where it's a don't verify trust system. But I'd say...
I've never voted in Nashville.
Well, just...
To be clear.
Well, knowing if your county is that... is useful. Just answering for yourself whether or not your county is a don't verify trust county will give you a sense. It's actionable information. It's intelligence about the county clerk and the people there and responsible for your records, because the county clerks are the ones that run the records locally. And so just knowing if your county doesn't believe in don't trust verify is useful. Maybe you should consider moving to a county that does have a don't trust verify philosophy. And there are those counties. And my point is...
Yeah, but for the presidential election, you still have to go by the other counties too.
Well, that's my point. It's like, who cares about the results?
We have this whole electoral college system. So, like, it really matters what is the majority of counties in your state are doing.
But you're falling into the trap of thinking that that's why this matters. Like, it doesn't.
No, this is what I love about you, is that you're just solving the problems you can solve. You're not trying to solve everything. So it's like all these little, like, but what this and but if. It's like, yeah, we're not solving that problem for you.
What we're doing is those counties that have a don't trust.
But as an American, this is important. I try and stay out of politics. But, like, if it comes up, like, it's important for me to make it clear how disenfranchised I am with the current state of things. Like, the audience should be aware of this. And, like, the other piece too is, and I know this has become political. Oh, by the way, to the freak, JPEG, you've said you've never seen that graphic on mempool.space before. I believe it's mempool.space/clock. Ooh. And yes, Wiz did it for dispatch. So shout out Wiz. And that was, I needed something that was that worked with the live chat, because live chat freaks, you guys are the ride or dies, and I appreciate you. So it was important. But anyway, mail-in voting has become a somehow partisan issue. And it probably will just flip which party is upset about. Probably whoever loses will always be upset with mail-in voting. Mail-in voting is a problem. Like, that is not okay. I'm not cool with it. I'm kind of curious on your opinion. But to me, the whole idea of in-person secret ballots are incredibly important to the integrity of an election. And the reason is because your boss or your spouse or someone else can coerce you, can force you to vote, or can buy your vote by standing over your shoulder while you mail in the ballot. And this is why blockchain voting doesn't work. This is why digital app-based voting doesn't work. It's all the same problem. The same problem is, if the person who is buying your vote or forcing your vote can verify which way you voted, then the integrity of the election is compromised. Now, I will say there is a middle ground where you can do like a mail-in remote voting kind of situation where they can verifiably override their vote in person later. So like, you have the coercer, you have your boss, your spouse. Those are the two main ones, right? And there's obviously other ones. I think someone got in trouble because they tried to sell their vote on eBay at one point. But like, your boss or your spouse, like, they look over your shoulder while you're on the app or you're mailing in your vote, and they force you to vote a certain way. And then, but they can't, they have no idea that come election day, you actually go down and you change your vote. That kind of solves a lot of the problems, and it's an interesting middle ground there. But it's something for people to keep in mind. Does Guatemala have mail-in voting?
No.
Yeah.
And we also, when you show up and we give you the ballot, we paint your finger with indelible ink.
The ink finger works.
It's the cheapest double spend solution.
You see that
in
all the early democracies, but it fucking works.
It's
like, does your finger have ink on it? You can't vote.
Exactly. So the best you can do is like, change your voting jurisdiction, but you can't multiply your vote by a million, right? And so in terms of getting into...
The ink finger is like a...
Solid.
It's clever.
It's, you know, Satoshi.
Keep it simple.
In the real world, man. So in terms of like the rabbit hole of voting, etc., like, I
closed source digital voting machines too, man. God damn it. And they're publicly traded too. It's like your favorite closed source voting machine that you can't audit is also like, pays dividends.
Yes.
Legit pays dividends. It's insane.
But see, in terms of my how this solves that portion, Matt, is you were mentioning, oh, we have this closed source system that's like, but that's not true. It's like, there's this perception, you know, cloud world has taken us to a point where, you know, you just assume that everything's fucked.
Right.
And that's just not true. There are places where people have their citadels and they're trying to fight back.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if we can empower those counties to resist, then we're giving them the proper weaponry, you know, digital encrypted tools that were used to be considered weapons. We're giving them, those counties, the tools they need to withstand this storm. And right. So instead of just having the slow creep of this nonsense continue, then it's reach out to your local guy and help them. Because he'll, if you imagine like Gandalf, like putting the staff down in stopping the Balrog, like, you shall not pass.
Freaks. He's doing it looks like he's jerking off, but he's doing the staff movement.
Yeah, it's at the very least, if you are,
I think weapons is a little bit provocative. What about shields?
Yeah, shields. This is an unstoppable.
It's a defensive tool.
Exactly. It's making sure that the slow creep of this nonsense that is just taking over more and more places stops. And it, you know, it's going to be harder to flip the places that are already on the other side. But I think that if we empower and strengthen those places that are still solid, it'll be easier to continue to make the case that these places are the better places to live. I don't know what drove you to move to Nashville, but I gotta think that this is where you're making your stand, right? And so it's there are people that aren't
for now. Yeah.
There are some people here that haven't gotten the message yet with Bitcoin, but this is a different way to do that, to get them to understand this will protect you from the insanity that will come for this place. Come November, it's a crapshoot.
Ridiculous.
It's a crapshoot, man. Is your county going to be the county that just decides something that is going to be so valuable
well,
that
whoever loses is going to say the election was fake?
Exactly.
No matter what, if I could bet on that, if anyone would take odds on that, I would just bet the whole house on it.
Exactly.
No matter what.
But so there's going to be so many counties that are going to have to defend themselves against insanity. And they won't forget when you showed up and gave them the tool that protected them. And it'll just make it easier to orange pill your neighbors and your friends and the guy that handles your archives locally. You know, the county clerk is responsible for a lot of archives. And that's the other option. The cool thing about this is you start with the election system, but then you can move into the rest of the archives that are gathered locally. And so I want to live in a world, I want to raise my kids in a world where if at any point you are sued by the state has to provide evidence with timestamps that you can trustlessly or trust minimized way verify for yourself. I do not want to live in a world where when I'm sued by the state and the state is arguing that I committed election fraud and I'm a treasonous, motherfucker that should be disappeared.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, well, show me the timestamps. And so I think this is one way that we can get closer to that world before it all goes to hell.
Fuck yeah. Well, I got your back, Carlos. Ride or die. I would love to see more integrity in elections. And I would say, to your point of why did my family move to Nashville? It's in America specifically, I mean, one of the core foundational defense mechanisms we have is free movement between the states and competition between the states. And yes, it's always difficult to move. But Americans, we specifically have this privilege that it's much easier for us to move between competing jurisdictions than for most of the rest of the world. And the very least you can do is move to a place where you think it's a little bit better for your family. And that's why we left New York, And if people go back, I guess Rabbit Hole Recap now has been going for 5.5 years every week, every fucking week. They need to take a break eventually. We're going to take a break, guys. Scylla Dispatch has been going for 3 years now. And I was publicly a New York maximalist. I was a New York maximalist before I was a Bitcoin maximalist. New York's the best state. And I stayed humble and I put my pride away and I moved the family. We moved together. That was part of the reason. Part of the reason was, at the end of the day, what do humans have to fight those in power, right? And the number one thing you have is your feet, right? And move somewhere where you think you're getting a better shake.
For sure. Wouldn't it be more attractive to find a jurisdiction where all of the public records are timestamped to Bitcoin?
Yeah, obviously, 100%.
Hell yeah. And so
I just want to see some JPEGs. I honestly might be wrong. You seem to know more about the U.S. election system than I do, but I have never seen JPEG tallies. Not even hash time stamped into Bitcoin blockchain.
Just the
JPEGs. I have never even seen a JPEG tally. I'm sure they probably exist somewhere.
Well,
on some random .gov site.
Well, then that's my other message, is that there's the election integrity movement or whatever. There's some folks that have been fighting to get open source into the election system.
Yeah,
for decades.
If you have a digital voting machine, first of all, it should be at the very least source viewable. I don't want to get into a license debate. I'm not saying that the machine has to be false. I should be able to verify the source.
Sure.
And then second of all, it should print a fucking paper receipt and you should manually take the paper receipt out. This is simple shit. Yeah. It's like the ink on the finger. Take the paper receipt and then there's a box next to the machine. You should take the paper receipt, put it in the box next to the machine. If you question the machine, You check the paper receipts in the box.
And as it's
super simple.
As it's going in the box, it should be scanned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to be.
Well, this is
just have a box of paper receipts that we can have like a warring tribe of 10 people all look at the paper receipts after the fact if we think the machine has fucked around with us. We don't, most of the counties don't have that.
Well, you've just described the gold standard of what, you know, proper elections are supposed to be like. Yeah. And it's not a disputed gold standard. It's just that the nerds think that, and there's a group of nerds that have been fighting for this for decades. And guess what? They are losing. They've been losing. And so another point here is we need to bring that group of people that from that FOSS, you know, group to realize Bitcoin is your friend.
You know? Yeah.
If you have found, if you've been able to work with a county somewhere that is doing what you described, and there are like not all of the counties are crap, right? There are some good people trying to. It's not rocket science. This is not building a rocket ship.
No, it's super simple.
It's very simple.
You put ink on the finger. You have paper receipts. Like that's all I need.
And then
I'm a simple guy.
And when the at the end of the day, you dump all the receipt and in front of everyone, you do the count, and then you write
you
it
hash
down.
Hash it. You put it in the write it down, blockchain. Boom.
And boom. Like so, there's plenty of people. There's plenty of people that do this. And what this, my message is, those people need your help and they will, you know, they will appreciate the help. And if we can call more attention to those counties, I think places like Nashville or other places.
I don't know. I'm not vouching for Davidson County, Nashville's county.
Well,
like I said, I have not voted here.
Well, now that you have voted with your feet here, maybe you can start demanding better services from your local government.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos, this is why you visited, you know? Like, just look me in the eye and like make me do things. Carlos, this has been great. I guess, let me say my piece real quick. Freaks, thank you for joining us in the live chat. The freaks that join us in the live chat, Zapsats directly in the live chat, like you guys are the ride or dies. It's amazing having you. You guys make the show unique. There's nothing like it, I don't think. We're a completely unmoderated live chat. You guys are like part of the hosts. Also, we obviously have no ads. We have no sponsors. And Dispatch just relies on donations directly from the audience. This is a concept called value for value. It's very early days, but you guys are the trailblazers here. So I do appreciate you guys supporting the show. Our top four supporters this week was 8 Mithrandir with 48,000 sats, Gary Krause with 20,000 sats, T-Dub with 10,000 sats, and user T3CCAPT with 10,000 sats. Thank you, freaks, for supporting the show. I know sats are scarce. Maybe you should consider verifying a local election and you can start earning sats. But if you don't have sats to spare, share the show with friends and family. We're in every podcast app. Just search Cyril Dispatch. All the links are at CyrilDispatch.com. Leave a review. All these things do help. Carlos, this has been fucking awesome. Do you have any final thoughts for our audience?
Don't give up on your neighbor. We need a lot of people in the citadels. And if they weren't ready to grok Bitcoin because of the sound money, maybe truth and integrity is the way to go. And just see elections as an opportunity to farm more Bitcoiners. Or at the very least, get the word out about the fact that we don't all need to live in a sea of lies. Some of us choose to have an anchor of truth. And I think that's useful. It at the very least helped me not lose my mind in our elections, which were garbage and nonsense. And now I have an in to some of the folks that are making decisions that actually do affect me. And they can't ignore the fact that Bitcoin helped them. So check it out, Immutable Democracy. Reach out on Nostr. I'm more than happy to help anyone that wants to try to take a crack at it.
Yeah, so he's Digital Witness on Nostr. You should use Nostr. I mean, if you're listening to the show, I'm like broken record on that. Carlos, and also Immutable Democracy. Search on YouTube. Watch the video, 16 minutes. Carlos, thank you for visiting Nashville. Always a pleasure. It's I really enjoyed this rip. I hope the freaks enjoyed it. I'm proud to call you a friend. Thank you for all you do.
My pleasure, man. It's an honor.
Let's fucking go. And freaks, tomorrow we have another dispatch at 1500 UTC. So that's 2 hours 2 hours earlier than usual with Kieran of Zapstream. We'll talk to him all about why your zaps aren't showing up. And then the day after that, because can't stop, won't stop, we have 1700 UTC. We have Ben Ark of LN Bits. So that'll be fun. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, freaks.
Appreciate it.
Love you, freaks. That track was Will Do by TV on the Radio. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Stay humble, stack sats. Peace.